Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and if you've been outside, you are very, very certain that the humidity is up over 50%. It's unbelievable out there. But you know what? I enjoy the rain. I enjoy the rain a lot. And gosh, it does great for my pastures. My horses are ankle deep in deep green grass. That makes me happy, as you can't imagine. Plus, I'm not having to water it because the Lord's watering it. So that makes it a lot better. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're located in Mesa. Start at Stapley and Main. Then you go east about a block, and on the south side of the road is Thompson's. Been in business since 1970. Can handle all kinds of foreign domestic cars, trucks, cars, motorhomes, all the stuff. He's a AAA approved shop, and he's an ASC certified Blue Seal shop. If, I think the number 75% of your technicians are ASC certified, then you can become a Blue Seal shop. Not very many shops can pull that off. And I think half of your techs have to be master techs. I'm not quite sure what the criteria is, but I can tell you I'm one, but so is Brian. So when you are in that group, you are an elite group. And it's not easy to get into that group. Thompson's was named Business of the Year in 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, and I'm really happy to have them on my list. And Brian and Thelma are a great couple, and like many of our repair shops, they're run by men and women that have dinner together in the evening time. And hopefully the guys don't bring the work home. You know what I mean? All righty, phone number 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. We'll take you as soon as you call. If you have any car questions or problems, I think I can help you. If I can't, perhaps I can refer someone to you. Our website's marksalem.com. Lots of car information there, and you can always go there to ask me a car question if you're too shy to call. 602-508-0960. If you're in Facebook, then you can stop by Mark Salem, or you can stop by Facebook.com/TheBestCarGuy. And I'm happy to help you there as well. Right now, my underwear's kind of wadded up because I posted a Facebook information the other day, and I stick to car repair. I'm sure you're not interested in where I'm eating. I'm sure you're not interested what I get up to do at 5 o'clock in the morning when I feed the horses, in case your imagination runs wild on that one. I'm pretty sure you're interested in something in the car repair industry that'll save you money. So I posted posted this article. Charlie, I'm going to get right with you. Just hang on. I posted this story about a guy with a motorhome, and one place bid it at almost $7,000, and he called around, and he did everything right. I kind of wrote down what he did right, and he ended up getting his motorhome repaired for half that much and less. The other guys were $6,980, let me call it $7,000, and then his was $3,079 was the final repair, and it was exactly the same repair. The big difference was the price of the part. And somebody goes on there and starts taking issue with the industry and, you know, bad-mouthing car repair and technicians making, no one can justify $100 an hour and all that other stuff. So as my wife of 38 years reminds me, she says, just calm down and wait till Monday and you can answer them then. Perhaps maybe your underwear won't be wadded up as tightly as they are today. You know what? There's bad people in all industries, and in mine as well. But I'm not going to let you paint my industry with a brush that's a mile wide. I'm not going to, because that's just not the way it is. Oh, sure, some of the people take advantage of you. And those of you that have been with me on radio for 25 years, you know I'm a consumer advocate. I'm out there for you. And I'm helping you understand our industry and do best. But Dun & Bradstreet says that the average auto repair shop in the state of Arizona gets to keep 6 cents out of every dollar. And that's before Uncle Sam's going to take between a quarter of that and a third of that. So don't tell me that these guys are making Mitt Romney kind of money fixing your cars at $104 an hour. because the $104 goes away rather quickly by the time you pay the tech, by the time you pay his 15% labor burden, and then all the fixed and semi-fixed expenses. Just the property taxes on our shop a year are $50,000. So, you know, it adds up kind of quick. Charlie, let's get to your car question. Buddy, how are you today? What can we do for you?
I'm doing fine, Mark. Appreciate your show.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, I've got a 95 F-250 with a 7.3 turbo in it.
Okay.
And I've only got one little problem with it. It leaks oil where the dipstick goes down into the pan.
Okay.
I've tried to tighten that great big nut. I don't want to lean on it too hard, and I haven't been able to correct it. What can I do?
I think you need to take it apart, but before you do, go down to your Ford dealership or any auto parts store, but probably best served at the Ford dealership, and I'll tell you why. They for certain will have an exploded drawing of that. Okay? So the question is the piece that goes into the oil, into the block in the oil pan, is that pressed in there? Or does it have an O-ring seal? And then when the dipstick attaches to that, is there a ferrule fitting or is there an O-ring? Or how is that attachment made? Because there's a good chance that there was an O-ring in there sometime or another, and it's not there anymore, and no matter how you tighten it up, we're not going to seal that leak. Now, let me ask you a question. It doesn't leak out where the dipstick goes into the tube up high. It's down low at the connection, right?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay.
Down low.
And really and truly, I got to tell you that it's not hard to get to, as you well know. Taking it apart, cleaning it up, looking at it, putting it back together, I can't imagine that you're going to spend more than about $75, $80, maybe $100, depending off something broken or bad. But that's not an expensive repair. And so,
no, not really.
It's go to Ford and have them show you the drawing, and then you'll quickly understand where the seal is at. And maybe they'll say to you, I want to sell you the top portion of that. And it has a ferrule fitting on it. Put it on there, tighten it up, and that'll fix your problem. Or you can just simply take it apart and use some of that yellow death, which is that 3M weather seal, or some silicone. You got to clean it up good with silicone because it won't stick to oil. And and just silicone the heck out of it and let it sit overnight. You could try that. But I think I'd rather have you go to Ford first, okay?
All right. One quick question.
Sure.
If I take that big nut off there, is there anything on the inside that's going to fall down in that pan?
I don't know. I really don't know. I wouldn't think so because that would be Ford stupid. I can't imagine that when you take that big nut off that we're going to lose something in the pan, knowing full well that you got to pull the pan, and pulling the pan on that thing's going to be doggone expensive.
Yeah,
so I don't think it is. I think it's going to be some kind of a ferrule fitting that's going to put it together, and it rotates around to let you position the dipstick, you know, to its other bracket. So it's kind of a flex fitting, so to speak. But what part of town do you live in?
In East Mesa.
Okay, are you out there near Main Street and Sossaman?
Actually, I'm in between Sossaman and Greenfield.
Okay, go to Jerry's Auto there on Main Street, just east of Sossaman.
Okay.
And just have them look at it. That's all. Just say, hey, take a look at this oil leak. Give me a bid on the repair. Tell me what you think you can do. Your best situation would be some old timer with gray hair crawling out of the neck of his shirt walks over there and says, I don't know what's the matter with that. That's what you want.
Yes, so, I do.
So go talk to Jerry. See if he's got one of them old timers with gray hair coming out of the neck of his shirt. Okay.
Thank you so much,
all right,
Mark.
You betcha, Charlie. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And when it comes to car repair, the whole purpose of my Facebook post was just to kind of educate you. People ask me a question that I get asked a lot, and they say, when should I bid the work? My answer's always been $300, $400, $500. You see, from the top to the bottom in our industry, let's take out the extremist on the top and the extremist on the bottom. Let's take out those people that are drawing you in for stupid reasons or you know, ripping you off for stupid reasons. But let's take 90% of our industry. There might not be a 20 to 25% difference between one and the other. There just won't be. It's going to cost pretty close to the same. And it has to do with your overhead. Are you spending $700 in rent, $7,000 in rent, $17,000 in rent? You guys that run your own businesses know. And I'm not one of those guys, let me cross over to the political spectrum for a minute. I'm not one of those guys that built my business myself. I have to admit that the SBA, the Small Business Administration in 1994, loaned me the money to build my facility. I also want to tell you and brag a little bit that I just paid him off. So 19 years later, I was due for 20. I had been doubling up on some of my payments, but I just paid him off. So when the guys stand there and thump their chest in front of the news cameras and they say, you know, no one's helped me build my business, I want to just whisper into their ear, did you borrow any money from the government? Because on the SBA loan, 50% of the money comes from a bank, 40% come from, oh, it's 50% from the government, 40% is from a bank, and 10% is from me. Well, the bank will let, the government will let the bank be in first position. So that's really a good deal because their loan to value is like 50%. So I'll admit that without the government's help, our repair shop probably wouldn't have come out of the ground. But by the same token, they weren't here every day working and making tough decisions and knowing when to drug test people and knowing, you know, when a guy gets has a nasty divorce with his wife or his ex-wife shows up with a, you know, whatever. Those things that all of us that have the steering wheel to our ships, we know that those things happen. So, all righty. When it comes to car repair, one of the things that we're seeing a lot of is gizmos right now because of the fuel economy and because gas is up at $4 an hour. I want to tell you something. There is no way in God's green earth that anybody can give you horsepower and fuel economy at the same time. That is a teeter-totter. I can make your car run really hard, fast, and strong, but you are going to sacrifice some fuel economy. Likewise, I can give you better fuel economy, but you're not going to have any power. And part of the reason is that for $29.95, and my tongue is firmly planted in my cheek, for $29.95, I will virtually, almost double your fuel economy. And when we get back, I'm going to tell you how I do that for $29.95. And I'm not going to accept any of you guys bringing your wife's car in for this repair. Whoever's going to drive the car has to sign off on this repair. But we have actually two options. We have Plan A and Plan B. So if you're interested, stick around. If you have a car question, 602-508-0960, and we'll help you just like we did Charlie. And I want to remind you, too, that there's a lot of repair shops that are really good guys in this industry. And there's a couple that are run by women, like Lovitz Body Repair and Air Park Auto, Vivian. And Vivian admires Star Service. So when you talk about women in our industry, there's a lot of them there. And they're very well respected because it's kind of tough to run a barn full of guys. We'll be right back right after this.
D&B Auto Repair.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, this ain't good. The timing belt's done shrunk one size too small.
Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Phone number, if you'd like to join us, is 602-508-0960. 508-0960. Okay. I'm blessed that very few people have my phone number, but the people that typically do have my phone number is the local Gestapo. So Jeff Trapp, Sergeant Jeff Trapp from the Highway Patrol, he sends me this text message, and he says, but where did that government money come from? You know, Jeff, I don't know where it came from. I paid it all back. But I think it came from you because of all the money you make there at the Highway Patrol. That's what I think it is. All righty, and that'll teach him to text me when I'm on the air. This portion of my news is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Full-service, family-owned auto repair shop, 38th Avenue in Indian School. I want to tell you, from Indian School South, between the 17 and the 101 on the west side, that's his area. So Ellen Frisbee, the wife, and Bob, they own Larry Harker's Auto, and they are a good team. They run a really swell operation. They do good work. They're honest, and they're dependable. They've been around a long time, another husband and wife combination. So if you live in that area, I'll say Camelback South, all the way from I-17 to the 101 on the west side, then Larry Harker's Automotive is a great place. He's at 38th Avenue and Indian School, and I'm proud to recommend them as a fine shop. All right, here's how I'm going to improve.
We've got Paul, then Lorenzo.
Okay, Paul, hang on just a minute, and then I'm going to write down your name. $29.95. Here's the deal. You bring your car to my shop on for $29.95, and I'm going to install I'm going to install a gizmo in your car that will double your fuel economy. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a very loud horn off of a 1965 Buick Electra, and I'm going to mount it underneath the seat of the driver's compartment, and I'm going to hook it up to where every time you hit the brake, the horn goes off. I promise you, you will get fantastic fuel economy, because it's not the throttle as much as it is the brake that causes you fuel economy problems. Now, that's plan A. That's $29.95. For $39.95, I will hook an ignition lead from the ignition system of the car, and every time you hit the brakes, it's only a half an amp. Okay, it's only a half an amp, but I'm going to charge the seat of your pants with about 60,000 volts. So when you hit the brake, I'm going to shock you hard. That's $39.95. Plan A and Plan B. Okay, Paul, you're up next, buddy. What can I do
Mark,
for you?
Mark, how you doing? I have an 08 Chevy Colorado four-cylinder. It's actually my son's. And every time we change oil in this thing, every 3,000, it is gritty, sandy. He's getting, I mean, we're going through this thing. I've been cleaning. I got online. They indicated the cam positioning sensor, which gets mucked up. Mm-hmm. And I cleaned all that out, and every time, and it runs fine. But again, 2,000 miles later, it's idling rough. It's just cutting out.
When was the last time it passed emissions?
Oh, geez, no 08. So I think maybe it was a 2-year tag on it now.
Okay. If I were you, that's a really good diagnosis. That's a cheap diagnostic procedure. If you can get the emissions people to let you run on the dyno.
Right.
Now, most of the times with Euro 8, they're going to plug in and they're going to say, go on. Right. The problem with that is if you can stop by and talk to the manager and say, hey, just plug me in as an older car, whatever, but I'm running on the dyno. I'm just using this for diagnostic. I want to know what's coming out of the tailpipe. Now, the second reason, the Colorado's, I'll bet you the temperature gauge on that thing, I'll bet you the needle is between a quarter and a half. Could I be right?
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay, I don't want it there. I want that needle to be between half and three quarters.
Oh, okay.
And here's what happens. Every time you shut it off, especially in the humidity like today, we're going to form a teaspoon of water in your oil. Now, water, here's the hard part, Paul. This is not just me answering questions. When does water boil, Paul?
Oh, at what?
212. All right. 212. And if we don't get the motor oil up to 212, then that water turns to sludge with the oil. So the water and the oil mix together, it turns sludgy, exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
And that thing never cleans up.
So it's like a condensate in there?
Absolutely. Okay. What you've got is heavy condensation, short trips, nobody's been on the freeway for a while, and I'll bet you the thermostat's either stuck open or somebody put a 180 or a 160 in there, and I want a 195 in there. Now, do you have one of those temperature guns that you can buy at Arbor Freight that you point at something about 6-8 inches away and it tells you
the temperature? I've been meaning to go get one. It's great for around the house, pointing at the AC returns and all that stuff.
Yep. I want you to gun the top hose after you drive the heck out of this vehicle for about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bet you the top hose, and that's water coming out of the engine. That's not water after it's coming out of the radiator. That's water coming out of the engine. I'll bet you it's not even close to 200 degrees.
Oh, okay.
I want the water on the top hose to be 220, 230, and at the bottom hose I want about 20 degrees lost. So if it's 220, I want to come out the 200. Bottom hose at 195, 200.
Okay.
So that's what happens a lot. Now, the Ahwatukee family that we have in Ahwatukee, they're short drivers. They go, so we do an oil change a little more often on them just because they have lots of mud in their
engine. Yeah, they're inside the world's largest cul-de-sac.
That's exactly right. So try that, and then don't worry about what kind of oil you're using, but I wouldn't be, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you just to change brands. I got to tell you something. Sometimes there's cars that just don't like a particular oil. We had a customer who used Valvoline.
Mm-hmm.
And he had oil consumption problems. And I said, look, this sounds stupid, but let's just go to another brand. I think we took her to Castrol, and the oil consumption problem just quit.
Oh, really?
So change the oil brand and make sure that upper hose is 220, 225, and let's go from there.
Cool. All right. Okay. Oh, and one more thing, Mark.
Oh, sure.
You did build it, okay? Even though you took an SBA loan, don't worry about that. You paid the government back. You paid them back with interest. You, my friend, built it, so.
No, you're right. But to be fair, I got to give them credit.
All right.
Because they extended me credit.
You're right. I'll give you a little bit there. All right.
Thank you, Paul.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All righty. Lorenzo, you're up next, buddy. What can I do for you?
Hey, I got a 91 Nissan 300ZX. And went out to get into it, and the clutch pedal is all the way to the floor, and you cannot budge it.
Okay. The question I don't know, Lorenzo, is the clutch got a cable that runs down to the transmission, or does it have a rubber line where we have fluid? Now, on the firewall, you're going to find a brake master cylinder, and very close to that, on the firewall, you're going to find another plastic device, and if you open it up, I'll bet it's empty, and that should have brake fluid in it. So I don't know if your 300ZX has a cable clutch. Now, if you have a cable clutch, you either broke the cable or the throw-out bearing went all the way through the fingers of the clutch. If the clutch mechanism has got 60, 70, 100,000 miles on it, that's a possibility. But there would be noise associated with that, terrible noise. Put it in neutral, start it up, and it would be there would be noise. If the clutch just simply, if it's a hydraulic clutch and you push your clutch pedal, which then applies a master cylinder, and the master cylinder sends fluid down to the slave cylinder, and the slave cylinder disengages the clutch, then that's easy to determine. Now you have to determine, you can put brake fluid in it, pump the pedal slowly, let it, and when it comes to the top, count five, and then hit it again, and then let it come to the top, count five. So you can flush it out pretty good, and you can put fluid in it, you can probably get it to a garage. But you got a leak somewhere, and the leak's either at the master cylinder or it's at the slave cylinder. So I hope that helped you. And by the way, that is a rocket ship car, isn't it, Lorenzo? Because I've driven one of those. Anyway, 602.
She's a beauty, and she's perfect condition.
Yep. 602-508-0960.
Color TV, get a backseat bar and reclining seats, and just pay once a month like you do your rent. Well, I figured it up in over a period of time.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I tell you what, there's times in your life you just need to shut the heck up. You know what I mean? Just shut the heck up. Sergeant Jeff Trapp is aggravating me on my phone. He's from the Highway Patrol. He's aggravating me on the phone because he says that the government that I gave credit to, that loaned us money 19 years ago, the money comes from the people. So my phone is going crazy because you guys can hear it. And you're not going to believe this. Okay, my wife texts and says, I was thinking the same thing. You sound like a Democrat. Oh, boy. You know what? All I wanted to say, and let me be clear about this. All I wanted to say is that everybody that I know of that's been in business has had help from family, from the government, from a bank on their business. Now, they gave them the money to get the business going. Whether the business was a success is solely mine, my responsibility and my action. But I don't want to get into this anymore. This is a car show. This isn't a political show. And I wish you'd call in, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. He's a great place. They do everything, domestic, import, gas, diesel. Kurtz Auto is I-17 in Bell Road. He's been a member of the Better Business Bureau with good standing. Kurt does not generate any complaints. Kurt takes care of people. And there, I think a couple of years ago, somebody had complained about Kurtz before he had a chance to address their complaint. But when he had the chance, instead of going and offering this or offering that, he actually went 10 times the distance. And I think he ended up giving them all or half of their money back when really they had only asked for some portion of their money back. Because he just said, the perception is reality and whether or not it's true or not. And that brings up the last point. Many businesses, and those of you out there that own your businesses, I think you'll agree with me. Nobody really believes the old idea that, you know, the customer is always right, because that was from the 20s and the 30s when the television cost $8 and so now it's just different. I think most business people will agree that when we look at a customer complaint, we say this: do I want to keep you or not? That's really what it boils down to. Because we know how much it costs to get a new customer. We look at your history. How many times have you complained? How many times has your check bounced? How many times have you, you know, raked our staff over the coals? All that stuff is in the computer. So if you're going to complain about
caller
25...
Caller Phil, then Corey.
Okay, Phil and Corey, hold on just a minute. The idea is that if you're going to complain about $25, I'm not going to spend my time tracking down for $25. I'm really going to say to myself, do I want to keep Mrs. Jones or Mr. Jones? And if the answer is yes, I'm going to give you $25. I'm not even going to spend my time finding out who's right and who's wrong. I'm just going to give you your money back. I'm going to do it in a nice way. I'm not going to burn my bridges. But the other side of that coin is just as black and white. If you have a customer who has just been a huge pain in your knee for 5 years and has just, I mean, when he walks in the door, he or his wife walks in the door, he's just, everybody just kind of hides. And then they complain about something that's, you know, could be $100, whatever. You say, you know what, now's the time to cut the cord. I'm sorry, I'm not going to accommodate what you're going to do, what you're asking me to do, and thank you very much for asking me, but no, the answer's no, and, you know, good luck in your next relationship. Phil, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, sir. This is our favorite station, by the way, day long.
Thank you.
Mark, I really appreciate you having this auto program on. I don't know anything about cars very much. I'm fixing them. But in listening to a program like yours, you know, you get ideas. I have a 97 Cadillac DeVille that I was blessed in getting after going broke in this economy, but the Lord found this to me. The car runs beautiful, but the starting is the turning of the engine is what I'm having a problem with. Okay. Half the time, I'll turn it on, and it'll start regular, you know, just the turn of the key, and it'll get going. But the other half of the time, I'm turning the key, and it's taken 6, 7, 8, 10 seconds to turn over.
Okay, now stop right there. Stop right there. I'm going to put you on hold because I'm running up against a break, but here's what I'm going to ask you when I come back. So what I hear you saying is that when you crank it, sometimes it goes, boom, starts right up. Then I think what you're saying is sometimes the question is, does it crank for 10 seconds? Is the speed of the cranking normal? Is the sound normal? The motor takes a long time to catch. That's option one. Or option two is when I hit the key, nothing happens, or it cranks real slow. That's option two. Okay, option one is what we called extended cranking, no start. Option two is slow cranking, no start. And there's two differences. When we get back from the break, you're my first caller, and Corey, you stay right there.
Hello.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and we're going to finish up real quick with Phil. And Phil, on your Cadillac,
yes,
we talked about the two different scenarios when it's bad. So kind of describe a little better for me what happens when it doesn't work right.
Okay. I would say that it's in the number one option there, that extended starting deal there.
Okay.
Again, I get into the car, turn the key. Sometimes it starts right up, so that's not an issue there. But the other one is the engine is turning at the normal rate.
Bingo! 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 That is perfect.
Sometimes I get a little smoke out the exhaust.
That's okay. See, that's what it's all about. There's when you call up and you say, I'm having problems starting the car, is it battery, alternator, starter? Is it fuel delivery? Is it spark delivery? Is it a hot starter or a cold starter? Wow. Do we have contamination in the cylinders that's causing it to hard start? But when you use words like that, that's it. I'm focused. Now, in your particular case, what we have to do is we have to find out, you have a hard, and I bet it happens when it's warm or when it sits a very long time. Which one?
You know, it happens with any kind of frequency. I can go out in the first thing in the morning, and usually that's when it'll turn right over.
Okay.
If it's going to do that. Yeah. Other times, same circumstances, it'll take 10 seconds to start.
Okay.
But it rides beautiful. This baby is in showroom condition.
Okay. This is what I want you to do.
I think you're
losing fuel pressure. I think
the
possibility exists that you're losing fuel pressure. So when you park it, and I need you to run it about 35 to 40. And if the fuel pressure regulator is bad or the check valve in the fuel tank is bad, then the fuel pressure will decline. Okay? So when you get in the car, what's happening is you're cranking it over. After you crank it for 3 seconds and the motor doesn't start, the computer does something I think is very stupid. It turns the fuel pump off.
Oh, boy.
So if 3 seconds, it sees cranking speed, RPM of 300 RPM, 150 to 300. If it doesn't see it jump to 7 or 8 after 3 seconds, it just shuts off the fuel pump. So here's what I want you to do. If you hit the key and you know it's going to go into its extended cranking mode.
You can almost tell.
Let go of the key. I want you to turn the key on, but not to the start position. And count to 3, turn it off, go back to on just before the start position or the crank position. And I want you to cycle the key on twice for 3 seconds.
Okay.
What we're doing is we're going to turn the pump on twice, and then if you come back and you say, Mark, when I do that, everything is perfect. I know you're losing fuel pressure, and the reason why it's taking so long for it to start is because we're having to rebuild and replenish that fuel pressure. So the question is where the heck is it going? Now, why does it start in the morning? In the morning, the computer looks at the coolant sensor, looks at the ambient temperature, and it goes, whew, cold. So it enriches whatever fuel you absolutely have. And so that's why in the morning the choke is on, so to speak, so it probably starts a little better. But in your case, the correct terminology is extended cranking, typically when it's warm.
That's
what you're looking for. But if my diagnosis is right, you cycle the key on a couple times when you know it's going to happen, and then, boom, fires right up, we got it. But the bad news is if it's a fuel pressure regulator, it's going to be 150 or so. If it's in the tank, you're talking about $400, $500, $600. But let's just cross that bridge when we get there, okay?
What do you say about the tank?
The back pressure or the backflow valve, the check valve in the system. The system is a loop. It comes from the tank, goes to the motor, and then the excess is sent back to the tank. There's a check valve in the tank. If it doesn't close good, then that's where you lose pressure.
I know you have to move on, Mark. Here's my problem. I just moved here from home in Wyoming.
Okay.
I don't know anybody over here, and I'm a little gun-shy.
Okay, tell me where you live.
I live in Surprise, Arizona.
Oh, boy.
I heard of one place on your ads for the Thunderbird.
Well, Thunderbird is a great place. Tom Fletcher is up there at 88th Avenue and Thunderbird. And then there's one in Surprise on Grand and Reams.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both Thunderbird Autos, and they're both owned and operated by Tom. He's a great guy.
I just heard, but maybe you can recommend somebody who's going to not shaft me. I've gotten shafted with my wife's car 3 times.
No, Phil, listen, this is my promise to you. If you go to Thunderbird Auto, and if you have a bad time, then... And let's say that they did a bunch of work and it didn't fix it. Then you took it over to another shop and they did fix it, so you want all your money back. You're going to file a nice complaint at the Better Business Bureau. You're not going to call him any names. If the Better Business Bureau tells Tom, you need to give Phil back $250, and Tom says, no, I will. I'm going to kick him off my list, and I'm going to pay. Here's the limit, $5,000.
Yeah.
Okay? So
I don't think it's going to be that.
I'm covering for you, buddy. I'm covering for you. All the Better Business Bureau has to do, three things. You file a complaint, the Better Business Bureau finds against the shop, and the shop says no, I step forward, period. Yeah. End of conversation.
So, I appreciate that. I'm a non-confrontational person. You know?
All right. He'll be nice to you. Yeah. You know what? Tell him that just go in there and say, you really don't know me, but my name is Phil, and I'm Mark Salem's uncle.
Yeah, okay.
All right. And you can use that. It's okay with me. Okay.
Well, you're a gentleman, sir. Okay. Thanks. I have something to go on now.
Thank you very much,
Phil. I'm going to try that. Thank you. Bless you all for the great job y'all do.
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Corey, it's Corey, right?
Yes.
Okay, Corey, good morning. I'm sorry it took me so long to get you, but I'm ready.
That's okay. I've been having this problem for a long time. You probably know something about it. I've looked up on the internet. The bell on a Ford Ranger 96.
Okay.
In the summertime, if I park it out, you know, outside, I get back in the car, start up, that bell can be gone for 5, 10, 15 minutes.
All right. It's the bell that's telling you your door's still open, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's either the bell that tells you your door's open, or it's the bell that tells you you don't have your seatbelt on. It's one of those two bells.
It doesn't happen during the winter.
Okay. All right. Here's what the deal is. If it's the bell that tells you your doors are open, in the winter and the summer, the temperature is different, and so the switch acts differently. What I tell people is identify where the switch is on the driver's door. I want you to take some duct tape, and I want you to cut off a 2x2 square times 4. I want you to make me a pancake stack out of 2x2 pieces of duct tape. I want you to find the button that the door opens and pushes in and pushes out.
I don't see any button. All I see is like a piece of metal, kind of, you know, a 1/16 of an inch thick.
Does it push on anything when you close the door?
I guess. I mean, I never know because the door's closed. You can't see it.
Well, I mean, they could be in the handle, so yeah, I could be wrong. But
yeah,
here's the problem. Handle. The problem is that it's very likely that one of the switches in a particular weather atmosphere causes this not to work. Another thing you can do is when you're driving down the road and it's dinging, open your window, put your left arm out the window, and pull that door in.
And no, see, door closes perfect.
It doesn't make any difference. I'm working off of your symptoms, okay?
Yeah.
Just pull the door in, even though you close fine, and then the next time, slam the heck out of it.
Okay.
Then you're going to have to go to the passenger side, get your wife or your girlfriend, but hopefully you don't have both. You're going to get them to drive, and you're going to get on the passenger side, and when the bell goes off, then you're going to open and close the door really hard, and then you're going to grab the outside of the door and pull it in. We have to find out which door switch is bad.
It's the driver's.
Okay, well then just go have it replaced. Or have it replaced or have it adjusted. Now, most of the guys in my group would just put a couple layers of duct tape over the
air. That's what I'm going to try. Yeah,
but over the tab, which pushes the switch in deeper. And
yeah.
If that's the case, boom, we're done.
Right.
That's going to cost you $400 at my shop, though.
Oh, well, I'll bring the duct tape.
Okay. I'll discount it for you.
Thanks a lot.
All righty. Thank you, buddy. All righty. Oh, boy. You know, that's why I like it. Now, next week, I have a stand-in. My general manager, Eddie Caruso, he's a master tech. We call him MacGyver. He's going to be doing the show. You can do me a favor by calling him and asking him questions, because the scary part about doing a radio show, I've been doing it for 25 years, so I'm not scared anymore, is having no callers. So you could do me a favor if you called next week and ask Eddie Carr questions. Eddie is my right hand. He's my left hand. He's half my brain. He is a great guy. The other day we had a Corvette in, and the door panel didn't fit just right. And the customer wanted it to fit perfectly. And so we priced a new door panel at $580. But Eddie found that out. He's the shop foreman. And he went out there and built a bracket. And he fixed the door panel, secured the door panel, because it was a little bit warped, and fixed it. And you couldn't tell where he had fixed it. But he built a bracket, installed the bracket, bolted the bracket down, and that pulled the door back to where it's door panel back where it should. And I think he charged the customer $60. That's the kind of guy he is. We call him MacGyver because he can fix anything. But he's really good on Fords. I'm a Chevrolet guy. He's a Ford guy. He was born with just half a brain. I was born with a full brain. But next week, and I only take 2 weeks off a year. So, this is one of them. And you could do me that favor if you do that. Quality Transmission is a great place. When you have a transmission problem, what you don't want to do is pull your car into an auto repair shop or a transmission shop, and they go, oh, boy, you have to leave it. And then they're going to call you back and say, well, Mr. Salem, we're going to have to take this thing apart because we just don't know. We know what's inside there, but we're going to take it apart, and then we're going to give you an estimate. And then most people say, yeah, go ahead. Well, and they're going to say, well, right now it could be $300. So I want you to okay $300. And so you're thinking, hey, it could just be $300. That's all. That's not what they're saying. They're saying they're going to charge you $300 no matter what. Then when they take your transmission apart, they're going to put it in a big shopping cart. And now it's in 2,000 pieces. And if you think you're going to bring it to my shop and have me put it back together, you got another thing coming. I want no part of that train wreck. Because he'll pull out a couple of parts and keep them. Quality transmission, that never happens. Bob was a fighter pilot in Vietnam. You only need to look at him and shake his hand to know that he knows right from wrong. And knowing right from wrong is only the first step. It's doing right is the second step. Now, even me, I admit that sometimes I know right from wrong, but it's more fun to do wrong. See, I live by this. If you play by the rules, you miss all the fun. That's my mantra. Bob doesn't live by that. So you can believe me when I tell you quality transmission in Tempe. On Tempe, McClintock, north of University. No matter where you go, they're worth the drive. And you'll talk to Bob or you'll talk to Steve. Alrighty, now I want to remind you too about water and the ditches and stuff. They didn't ask me before they did a bunch of those public service announcements about not driving through water, but let me tell you something. When you go through water, and you go, and everybody does goes through fast because they're scared, your engine can aspirate water. It's going to breathe in water. You're going to bend your rods, and we've already seen six of those this year. And the bill's going to be $3,000, $4,000, and $5,000, and $6,000, unless you happen to own an S turbo, fancy SUV, a Range Rover, S turbo, and the motor's $13,000 on that one. So you can't go fast, but look at the car in front of you. If the water is above the middle part of their tires and wheels, turn around. Because when you get into deep water, your car becomes a boat, except you've got no rudder, no oars, and no engine, no propeller. So now you become a raft, and it's going to carry you downstream, and you're going to be in big trouble. Plus, you're going to be on the 10 o'clock news. So just pull off to the side of the road. Wait till somebody comes by in a car that looks like yours. Then watch them. And if the water's 4 inches deep and you want to go through it, when really you shouldn't, go through slow. But a car, you ask 100 different experts and they'll tell you a car can float on 6 inches of water, and blah, blah, blah. I think a car's going to need about 12 inches of water or more before it starts floating. And when it does, you're in big trouble. Again, you're on a raft with no motor, no rudder, and no help. All you can do is roll up the windows, but its car's going to take water on.
1 minute.
You're going to end up swimming. So it's best just to turn around. When you come up to a wash, turn around. But if you're going to be a doofus, pull off to the side of the road and watch the other people go through first. If all of a sudden you see cars stop in the middle of the stream and the customer, that the driver gets out and crawls on the roof of the car, that's all you need to know. Don't go. But don't go through fast. Just go through slow. I know it's hard to do that, but go through slow. Because if you get some water into that air filter, you'll bend the rods and you're going to be in trouble. All right, my email address is mark@marksalem.com. That means my website is marksalem.com. If you're on Facebook, you can friend me. I'd like that, and I'd like you to like my shop, Salem Boys Auto. But any other time, you can call me, and I'll give you all the help I can give you, just like we do every day here. So thank you for spending your Saturday with me, and please don't drink and drive. And may God bless you and your family for the rest of this week and this year. And I'll see you next week from next Sunday.